I once tried to write a parable. Well, more specifically, I was asked to write a parable by one of my professors at VST. And I did, and it wasn't very good. As I recall, I think I put it once in a sermon I delivered here, and I won't repeat it because it wasn't very good. My point is, parables are really difficult to write. They seem simple, simple little story, but it's difficult to make a simple little story profound on many levels. And parables are a great way to teach because they connect with the ordinariness of life, well, as I say, still conveying a profound message about life. A simple story about a grain of wheat or a mustard seed can shed considerable light on the extraordinariness of God and the nature of God. But then we get a parable like we do today, like the one we heard today. Over the past weeks, we have been getting some challenging parables. But I think this one, the one known as the Shrewd Manager, is the most problematic from the standpoint of a literal telling of the story. We are less struggling for a meaning that makes sense to us. And then maybe perhaps we just get frustrated and give up. Why would Jesus make such an outrageous example of godly living? Why would he say this is the way that we should act? The parable introduces us to this man, the manager, who seemingly represents the extreme opposite of everything that Jesus taught. He is, if I may use the word, a bit of a disgusting man. Let's look at some of the qualities of this man as presented in this parable. He's a liar. He's a con artist. He's manipulative and devious. He is shiftless and lazy. He is self-obsessed and egotistical. And if all this were not enough, he steals money from his employer. He is solely out for his own personal gain and is bent on saving his own skin at expense of others. As spectators to the story, we want to get to the end, where surely this scoundrel will come to some sort of punishment. Surely he will be, at the very least, hoisted by his own petard. Now, before I go on for that, I wrote that phrase down, hoisted by his own petard, and I realized that I never really understood what it meant, so I looked it up. Petard is actually a medieval small bomb used to blow up doors or blow up a wall or something like that. So if you were hoisted by your own petard, you were building a bomb and you exploded it and you know, that sort of thing. First used in Hamlet, Shakespeare. So you have something to take to your next cocktail party. Back to this. But when we do get to the end, the master speaks and commends the manager for being shrewd. What? The story is well written. It is very well told and it commands your attention. But the ending is morally scandalous. This devious, terrible man gets rewarded for his actions. His scheming succeeds. He is praised by his boss for being enterprising and clever. We come away almost in shock as the manager not only does not get punished, but he gets praised and rewarded. Any lesson here is surely lost. And as we readers of this parable sit there with our mouths and eyes wide open, in disbelief and perhaps insult, there is still one more surprise. The parable ends by saying this terrible man gets it, and believers do not. Again, what? Thank you, Jesus, for making this sermon easy on me. Well, is there any good that could be taken out of this story? Of course there is. We are Christians, and we live in hope. And so here we go. First, let's put this parable in context, because that happens to be a very important thing to do. When this parable was written, Jerusalem had relatively recently been razed to the ground by the Roman army. One thing you could say about the Roman army back in the day, if they wanted to march into a village or a town and raise it to the ground, they pretty much could do it. The Romans were fed up with the constant insurrections that the Israelites were performing and destroyed Jerusalem and scattered the Israelites to the nether regions of the empire. It was also a time of division between Jewish Christians and Israelites who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And as I've mentioned before, there is no feud like a family feud. It was not a particularly good time. And what I'm saying is this parable is written at a time when the Christian church was in considerable turmoil. Perhaps this is not surprising then that this parable tries to speak to Christian communities that have lost their way, that have lost their vision of the larger picture. The parable forces us to ask tough questions like, who are the people of God? What is it really that the people of God have been called to do? When we are truly lost, the treasures that we have in front of us may well not really be treasures at all. These perceived treasures are just things with no real value other than our need for them. For example, if I am morally lost and all things are falling apart around me, stealing something from someone else might seem to be the thing to do. It might even appear to be the shrewd thing to do. In this circumstance as well, when I am lost and things are falling all around me, apart all around me, I may well use the things I have, my treasures, if you will, in a misguided and manipulative way. Again, given this, the context where the parable was written, let us take a look, a different look, at this parable, at this story. Among the crowd Jesus is addressing here are the Pharisees, or the religious authorities. Luke refers to these people as lovers of money. There was no love lost between the author of Luke and the Pharisees. They were the leaders and keepers of the treasures of the people and the treasures of God. And in Luke's eyes, they were like the shrewd manager. These religious authorities had lost their ability to interpret or see what God had called them to be. In Luke's eyes, they had reversed their roles in Israelite society. They had gone from the servants of God to become those who kept the treasures of the present day for use for themselves. Completely controlled by money and wealth, the religious authorities had lost their vision to serve and had been taken over by their desire to acquire and keep more wealth. To paraphrase this parable in my own words, in this present age, you can either love the treasures that abound around you, or you can serve God. But you most assuredly cannot do both. Serving God affirms life, and loving treasures leads to darkness. So that's it. Serve God and not the treasures of the world. Period. That's the meaning of the parable. Well, no, of course not. All of Jesus' parables, as I mentioned, are multi-layered, and this parable of the shrewd manager is no different. Before I go into that, it reminds me, though, of a short comedy skit that I saw Rowan Atkinson do once. Remember Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean? In this particular skit, he wasn't playing Mr. Bean. He was playing a English clergy person, which he does very well, by the way. He's done it a number of times. He does it very well. And you sort of, there's a shot of going in on what looks like a countryside church. And just before you go into the church, you see the sign that comes on, sort of a title, and it says, "The Week After Songs of Praise." Now, I have to explain, if you don't, Songs of Praise is a BBC television show, and they go to local churches and film the service, but mostly the hymns, the songs of praise, and because it's really popular, Just like the antique roadshow, lots of people go to that church on that Sunday. You know, there's EDCs there and filling. Anyway, so it says the week after the Songs of Praise, and you see Rowan standing there with this big frown on his face and looking out. There's like three people, and he says, "So last week the whole village shows up, and now there's only three of you." And he goes on like that. But what he's not getting, though, I think, is at least there were three people there who wanted to be there, and that was his treasure. If you get a chance, take a look at it. It's quite funny. We as Christians are asked to bring the vision of God, the kingdom of heaven, to right here on earth. We are asked to do that with the treasures that God has given us through creation. In this present age, with an imperfect world and imperfect treasures given to imperfect people, we are asked to be the stewards of God and the stewards of creation. The question becomes, the question this parable asks of us, is how do we use these gifts to bring the light of Christ, the hope of Christ, the love of Christ to this world? Sometimes on our human journey, we put aside, or perhaps we forget, the miracle of Christmas and the incredible new life that we are given at Easter. Sometimes on our human journey, we are sidetracked with the demands of the day, with the meetings we must attend, with the deadlines we must meet. We lose the larger vision. Sometimes on our human journey, we get caught up in a survival-take-all kind of mentality. Along this human journey, we as a society have at times taken our treasures and have put aside for another time the problems that have arisen largely because of these treasures. The environment, poverty, inequality, injustice, prejudice, to name just a few. Sometimes on our human journey, we have forgotten that we are all a part of something greater. This is the issue that Jesus is dealing with in this parable. The children of God sometimes lose the vision of God. This parable is a strong call to reclaim who we are and what we are here for, to do as best that we can to create God's kingdom here on earth. And here is the good news. Here is the very good news. There is no issue. There is no problem. There is no challenge that we face that we cannot fix with the resources, with the treasures that God has given us. To be sure, some of these difficult situations we face are as large as mountains. But with God's help, and working together, we can move mountains. God made us the stewards of the earth, and in so doing, gave us all the tools we need to build a world of peace, of light, of joy, of hope, and of love for all of God's creation. Let us pray. Let us all pray that we may never lose sight of that holy and glorious vision. Amen.